over you as your pastor is that you don't do anything out of just routine, but you're doing this intentionally, and God has made you to be able to stand. There's so many things that has probably come against you in this week, maybe in your physical body, maybe in your emotions. Maybe you have fought depression this week. Maybe you have fought anxiety, sadness, stress. Maybe there's been something come along in your finances and the devil just tried to get you to give up. I want to remind you right now that you are standing. God saw it fit to keep you on your feet and to keep that breath in your lungs. And God is not finished with what you're going through. He's going to perfect it. So right now, if you have something that's heavy on your heart, I'm going to ask you to just put your hand up, because see, God's going to meet you right where you're at. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over every single person, God, from the youngest to the oldest. And right now, God, I declare that we are a blessed people. God, we are the people that you have chosen. And so, Lord, I thank you right now that we have all that we need. God, I ask right now that you would take depression from your children right now. Lord, I ask that you'd give them peace. Lord, for people that came in here and they have something wrong in their body, God, I thank you that they walk out of here healed. In Jesus' name, amen. And it's funny, Dad took his shoes off. He's been doing that for about 40 years now. And I just, this wasn't a part of the message, but I just want to remind you that, you know, you can only be you. Right? You can only be you. But you can be the very, very best version of you. You can be that child of God that He's called you to be. And you can't put yourself in anybody's shoes and wear them every day, day in and day out. I'm going to ask you to be the very best version of yourself. Be the best you that God wants you to be. We're going to go to the Word this morning in John chapter 10 and verse 10. And if you don't hear another thing that I say this morning, I want you to hear this. God loves you so much. He really cares about what you're going through. He cares about everything that concerns you. He cares about every ache, every pain, every sorrow, every tear, every problem. He cares about what you're going through. If you're somebody in here and you feel bad about some things that you've done, I'm going to just tell you right now that God is not mad at you. God is not sitting there looking for ways that He can be mean to you. But in fact, He's actually looking for ways that He can love on you and that He can bless you and that He can make you know that you're His kid. Amen. John chapter 10 and verse 10. I've learned that you can hang on every word. The Word of God says that man doesn't live on bread alone, but we live off of every single word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So everything that God says about us, that's how we live. If God says that you're victorious, there's no reason for you to continue in failure. Amen? Amen. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So this verse right here is talking about the thief. He is talking about Satan, and he's saying that he only comes to do three things: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, I want to ask you this morning, what are some thieves in your life? What are some things that you allow into your life that steal, kill, and to destroy in your life? You know, some people, I'm just going to speak in generality so we can get the point, but some people, they watch the news way too much. Does anybody know anybody that you think their life would be better if they did not watch the news? My husband, sweetheart, how many years has it been since you watched the news? 5 years on May 16th that he just refuses to watch the news. If anybody talks about the news with him, he just tells them, hey, I've been on a sabbatical from hearing the news, and I don't want to be rude, but I don't want to hear what the news is having to say. But there's some people that the devil is able to work literally through the news to come into their home every morning, every evening, and it gets them upset. It gets them depressed. It gets them sad. See, there's certain thieves in your life that the devil is using, and you need to identify what the thief is in your life. We know the main thief is the devil, but what are the little thieves in your life? Because, see, the Word of God says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine, and what that means is it's the little things. It's the little things that destroy people. So I'm asking you this morning to identify what are the thieves in your life. I know for me, when I start thinking, that can be a thief in my life. Now, I've got to think, but there are certain things that I should not think too much on. You know, when God calls you to be a leader, there's some times where you're going to lead and you're going to lead alone on some things. And so what I cannot think about or afford to think about too much is what everybody's going to think about whatever decision that I've made. But I am prone to doing that. And because of that proneness, there are times where I suffer with sadness and depression because I've allowed the thief to come into my life and to get me to thinking about those things too much. So I'm asking you to just keep it real this morning. I'm asking you to think about your life and what is eating at you. There was a movie years ago, and it was called What's Eating Gilbert Grape? Does anybody remember that? Okay. I don't know if that means I'm getting young or old. I mean, I'm not getting any younger. But think about what the thieves are in your life. Because life is very short. Can we all agree on that? It's really short. And I want to tell you something this morning. The main thought of today's message is God wants you to enjoy your life. God wants you to enjoy your life. He wants you to enjoy it. And there's so many Christians, and they're not enjoying their life. They're upset all the time. They're depressed all the time. They're stressed all the time. And God wants you. He desires for you to enjoy your life. How many of you in here are parents? Okay. I'll make it relatable. How many of you ever saw your kid upset? That's one of the worst feelings, I think, as a parent. When your kid is upset, many, many times you think in your mind, I would do anything to get my kid to not be upset. And I imagine that gets worse the older they get, because sometimes the older kids, the grown kids, things come up in their lives that mama can't fix for them no more. And then, you know, we sit there at night and we're going, oh, I wish I could fix that for them, because I would if I could. And can I get away with killing that person that hurt my baby? Well, no, we can't. But we think it in our brains. And so I'm asking you, what is a thief in your life? What is a thief in your life? What is it? You have not because you ask not. And Christians, I believe, are failing many times in communication with God. People won't ask God for things. They say, well, God knows my heart and he knows what I need. Yes, he does. But there's also some things. See, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. See, God intended for you to speak. That's why in his word, he says, now, if you have faith, just the little size of a mustard seed, you can speak to the mountain and you can tell the mountain to go. See, God is interested in what you have to say. And it's important for you to pinpoint what's going on in your life and where the thief is getting in your life, because, see, everybody's different. And so in John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Those are three things, and that's the only thing that he does. And that's the only thing that he has to do, because those things are still working today. He doesn't have to have any new tricks. They're still working. And a lot of pastors focus on that verse, the first half of it. But today, I am going to focus on the second half. And it is this right here. But I have come, and this is talking about God, and God is saying, I have come that they may have life. See, God came and he sent his son so that you would have life. And there's too many Christians that are walking around living a dead life. See, God wants you to get excited about your life again. God wants you to get excited about your calling again. God wants you to get excited about what you're doing every single day. God wants you to be happy with your life. But see, that is a decision. You have to choose if you're going to be happy or if you're going to be sad. See, there's things, that's why the Word of God says, now you choose you this day. And you can say, well, Pastor Kelly, that's all nice for you to say, but you're not living in my life and you don't know my problems. I can't choose to be happy when I've got this going on. I beg to differ. That's why David said in the Psalms, I will bless the Lord at all times. At all times. See, your joy and your happiness, that's a choice for you. So the Word of God says, but I have come that they may have life. But he didn't just stop there. I've learned that God is a God of detail. So he describes to us what kind of life that he wants us to have. He says, and to have it to the full. To have it to the full. I have come that they may have life and to have it to the full. Somebody in here, tell me what the word full means. Satisfying. Okay. Everything that you need and more. Okay. Not lacking. Anybody else? What does the word full mean? Amen. More than enough. I looked up the word full. Because I'm a nerd like that. And if I'm going to preach about it, I want to know what does the Webster's Dictionary say about the word full. Now, I'm no scholar, but I can work these fingers on the telephone to look them things up. And the word full, its literal meaning was complete, having no room for any more. God wants you so full that you're completely to the top. He wants you so full of joy. He wants you so full of contentment. He wants you so full of emotional wholeness. He wants you so full of health. He wants you so full of joy. See, God wants you full in every area of your life. He said, I came that they would have life. I came to give them life. But it's not okay to just have any old life. You know, when you pray, if you can pray more detailed, the more detailed prayer that you can pray, the better. And I always say this, but it's so true. Don't just say, God, give me a husband. Amen. Who said that amen? Because see, you may need to be a little bit more detailed than that. God, don't give me a loser. I'm going to preach where we live, and if you don't like it, you're just going to have to get over it. But we're going to preach it here. God, please let him have what I like to call a J-O-B. Okay? God, because I don't like to eat hamburger helper, I like to eat steak, and I like to eat that steak out, and he needs to be able to afford to do that with me. God, please give me a job. Look here, if you're going to ask God for a job, you might as well just ask him for the kind of job you want. Why? Because, see, the word says you have not because you ask not. God's waiting for you to ask him. He knows exactly what you need. Exactly. So the word of God says, I want my kids to have a full life. I want them to have a full life. A couple months ago, we took our kids to Disney because I was certain that that was something that I wanted to do for them in their childhood. Thank God I did it and it's over. Because let me tell you something, there ain't nothing more hellacious than going to Disney. I'm sorry. But it was something. There were so many people there that I couldn't even walk 2 feet in front of me. It was awful. And Frank goes, I'm so glad you decided this was a have-to-do thing because we're all miserable. Colton was going, can I go back to the hotel with Frank? I said, no. By about the third day, I just let him go. But I did that because, you know, there's things that with our natural children, we think, I want to do this for them, and it's important that they get to have that. And, you know, that's exactly how God thinks about you. He said, I want my kids to have life, but I want them to have a full life, a full life. And so go with me now to Deuteronomy chapter 30. We're going to begin to read at verse 11. We're going to talk about that life today. I don't like to have vague messages where I tell people that they need to have a full life and then I don't tell them how to do it. I'm going to take you to the Word and I'm going to show it to you. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11. Now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. Now the first point that I want to make to you today is a full life is within your reach. It's not, God hasn't said I want to give them a full life, but I'm not going to give them any way to do it. Something that God has been ministering to me is to try to live in the moment. And there's so many people that are putting off having that full life. There's so many people that are putting off being happy. I'm going to just give an illustration out of my life. Many years ago, I was with a company. I was in the medical field for 15 years before I was in the ministry. I've been in the ministry my whole life, but not full time. And so for 15 years, I worked at a company, and I was 100% vested, which meant that I would not have any repercussions for cashing in all of my accounts, my 401k, my profit sharing, all those things. And so when I quit there, I just wanted to cash that out. Well, I quickly learned after that you could not actually do that for 2 years. There was a holdup for 2 years. So imagine having thousands of dollars held up that was yours for 2 years. Would anybody else like that? You seen that commercial, I want my money and I want it now. Well, that's how I am. It wasn't just $1 million, but it was mine and I wanted it. And I allowed that to make me bitter and angry for 2 years. And every time I felt joy trying to come into my life, I would say, well, I can't really truly be happy until I close this chapter of my life and I get that check in the mail and I can just be done. And you know, everything will be great after these 2 years. I won't ever have to think about that place again. Well, let me tell you something that happened that was very interesting to me that I did not predict. 2 years passed And I'll never forget the day that I went and I checked the mail, and that check was in the mail. And Paul, I was madder than a wet hen that day. I got that check, and what I had thought was for 2 years, I thought, the moment I get it, I'm going to feel such a relief, and I'm going to feel all this, and I just put it in my mind how great it was going to be to just be done with it. See, there's things that you're right in the middle of, and you're saying, you know, if I could just, the moment that I'm not going through this battle no more, then I can just go on with my life and be happy. The moment that I don't have to struggle with this, I'll just be able to be what I want to be. Well, the moment that I don't have to deal with this whatever over here, then I can be happy, or then I can this. See, you don't need to postpone that stuff. Because what happened to me was the day that I checked that, I was so mad because my heart didn't instantly change just like that. Joy didn't just instantly enter into my life like I thought it was going to. Because I realized that it was not a matter of something, a transaction that was going to happen in my life, but in fact joy, and to have a full life, that was a choice. And sometimes we're putting off things in our life for stupid reasons. And we're wasting years thinking that, well, when this happens, then I can truly be. Well, no, you need to truly be right now, in today. Don't put things off. Live in that moment. Live in that moment. How many of you got something going on in your life and you think, I'll be glad when it's over? I want to encourage you right now, even though it's not over, enjoy your life. Enjoy your life. We're all struggling in some type of way, but just because you're struggling, just because you're in a battle, just because you've come up with an issue that you're having, that doesn't mean that God doesn't want you to still have a full life. He's going to work out what's going on with you that's being held up. But you need to make that choice that come hell or high water. God, I choose to have joy despite everything that's going on. Lord, I'm not going to wait for 2 years to get that piddly check because, God, it doesn't really matter. Lord, I'm not going to wait for so many people. They put so much stuff on their children when really it's not their children, it's them. Well, when I finally get my kids good and raised, then I'll be able to lose 50 pounds because we won't have to eat at McDonald's every day. Well, baby, that's a choice. Hallelujah. Y'all didn't think that was a great one. Let me come up with another one. Sorry if that stepped on any toes. I try not to even look at McDonald's when I go by there. I just look at that sign and gain weight. So Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11, my first point is that life is in your reach. That life is for you. Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. Verse 12, it is not up in heaven so that you have to ask who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it, nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it. Verse 14, no, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and it is in your heart so you may obey it. Verse 15, see, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction, for I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commands, his decrees, and his laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess. Now I want to skip down to verse 19 because verse 19 is very important to us. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. Now, we read in John chapter 10 and verse 10, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Now we see in the Word of God that God is saying, choose life. Choose life. Every day of your life is full of choices. You're going to choose to live, or you're going to choose not to live. God wants that abundant life for you in every way. Funny story. 5 years ago, I didn't obey God. God told me to remodel the bathrooms in the back of the church. I didn't listen. Well, about a week after I didn't listen, the whole place in the back flooded. And God said it would have been better to obey what I told you to do. Okay, so Brother Sam is somebody, if I ever got in a bind, and I have before, but on my worst of my worst days, Brother Sam and my dad had my back 1,000,000%. And I was talking to Brother Sam. How many of you ever remodeled a bathroom? Is that not the worst experience you've ever had? Because it's never just the bathroom. The floor is always rotten, or something is always going on inside of that bathroom that you did not know about. And the tab just gets out of control. Well, I'm a penny pincher. Is anybody else in here like that? I mean, I am. If they're giving free forks away somewhere, I want one. I don't care if I got 1,000,000 forks in the bag. I want that free fork. So we were looking around, and I said, well, I was talking to Brother Sam. And I said, Brother Sam, I was looking in the bathrooms, and the faucets look fine to me. I think we just need to save them and reuse them after we remodel the bathroom. And he looked at me, and in the nicest way Sam could, he just rebuked the fire out of me. And I was glad that he did, because I was a new pastor. And I'll never forget it. He said, that'd be fine if you were doing that in your own house. He said, but this isn't your house, Kelly. This is God's house. So you build God a palace. You put the very, very best that we can afford in that bathroom. Don't you save no junk. You go out and you buy a new faucet. And so I tell you this because it's a choice how you are going to live. But what I am telling you today, and I'm not talking necessarily about money, but I'm talking with things about that money can't even buy you. God is asking you to choose life. He's asking you to choose life. And then to take it a step further, he's asking you to choose the abundant life. A couple weeks ago, Brother Johnny back there had the pleasure of going shopping with me. We were on the look for a forklift, and I couldn't go by myself because I didn't know a darn thing about forklifts. And he said, well, what do you want? See, God had done worked on me over the past 5 years, and I said, Johnny, I want the best forklift that Paris Christian Center can have. And I said, because I've learned that if you choose junk, you're going to get junk. And I have enough problems and I don't want any more. I want the nicest one we can get. See, what do you want in your life? What do you want in your life? What are you battling right now? I've got a house that's been for sale for over a year. In my natural self, there are times when I want to get worked up about that. But on my very best days, I choose to be an abundant living person. And I say, God, in Jesus' name, I plead the blood of Jesus over that house. And Lord, I thank you for that family that's going to be living there. And God, I ask that you would cause this house to be a blessing to them. And Lord, right now, I plead the blood of Jesus over my mind. Because, God, there's no way that you want my mind in turmoil about this problem. Now, Kelly, 10 years ago, would have said, I can't be happy until that sells. I was getting in a bad habit, and I was saying, and I caught myself the other day, and God brought it to my heart because he said, I want you to stop saying that. See, if you'll listen to God, God will tell you when to shut up. I know that's blunt. But there are some things that we're saying just to ourselves. God wants us to stop saying. And I was saying, well, I just can't wait for it to sell so I can move on with my life. How many of you have ever said something like that? I want such and such so I can just move on with my life. You're living your life right now. And you cannot afford to let something piddly and earthly get you in that mind frame where you feel like you can't live your life just because that thing hasn't come forth yet. God wants you to be happy in your life, and he wants you to choose to live abundantly because that's what he has for you. It says, I set before you today life and death, blessing and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. And in verse 20 it says, and that you may love the Lord your God and listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life. So in John 10:10 it says, I've come that they would have life and to have it abundantly. God wants you to have that abundant life. It's within your reach, but you must choose it. That's why he says in his word, choose you this day. What are you going to have? And then he drops down in a few more verses and he said, the Lord is your life. The Lord is your life. When you're choosing that abundant life, you're choosing God. In one of our, Frank and I, we got married on the lake. And it was very isolated. Kind of an elopement. And I told him, I said, it's very important to me that we don't have a bunch of people there. Because, see, I'm like a squirrel. And if anything is going on, I'm not going to be able to concentrate on what I'm promising you I'm going to do for the rest of my life. And I want to be present up in here with these vows. And we wrote our vows. And one of the things that I said in our vows is I said, I make the decision to choose you every day. And I want to tell you this morning that God is your life. In him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. And the moment you try to step out of him is when everything just goes to crap. There's not a better way to say it. If you can't handle Arkansan slang, then you're going to probably not like me. But when we step out of God's very best for our life and we step out of trying to do things with him and in him, we just get into error. So a part of the abundant life is really realizing that he is our life. And that it's him living inside of us that makes it abundant. So many times I've looked at different things in the ministry and I've said, God, we have all that we need in every way. God began to send people to this ministry, and they were exactly what was needed. God will send people your way. I remember the first day that I met Jen. She just showed up out of nowhere. I had never met her before. I thought, well, who is this pretty lady here? Jen, wave your hand so everybody knows that's you. That's Jen. And she said, my name is Jen, and I'm going to help you with this food ministry. And I thought, well, I didn't want to tell her how much she had her hands full with me, but I said, well, great, I would appreciate the help. I started noticing on our cameras some little lady, and she would come and she would clean up the one table, this table that we had put out there, and she'd clean it up, and then she'd go and she'd watch over it when I would put stuff out there. And I thought, who is that? It was Sherry. God is your life. And if you'll stop saying, well, when this is over, I can just truly live and truly be happy. If you'll stop saying that and if you'll stop thinking that and open your eyes, you'll see that God has given you a very full life. And that full life is not dependent on everything going exactly the way you would want it to go. Because, see, the Word of God says in this life, you're going to have trials and you're going to have tribulation. But he tells us, be of good cheer, be happy, be joyful, because I have overcome everything that you're going to face. I've already worked it out. The Word of God tells us in Deuteronomy, choose. Choose this day. Choose every day. What do you want? What do you want out of your life? A lot of people, I'll say, well, what is God doing in your life? Well, I have no idea. You need to get an idea. You need to know what God is doing in your life and what direction that he wants you to go in. And you can't get that if you never talk to him. So it says, for the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land that he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God is our life. Go with me now to Ephesians chapter 3. Hallelujah. We're going to look at verse 14. Through 21. We're talking about the abundant life here today. A lot of people that know me, they'll say, I was going to call you, but I didn't because you're so busy. Or I was going to this, but I didn't because you're so busy. And I'm a very busy person. We pretty well work 7 days a week. But I am learning to take it a little slower so I can enjoy some little things. Now, I'm going to be 39 on Thursday. This is the last year of my 30s, and I'm going to just enjoy the heck out of it. But I have noticed I am doing some weird things the older I get. And one of the weird things that I'm doing is eating things that I thought I didn't like. Did that happen to anybody else when they got almost 40? You started eating stuff and you were like, where has this been my whole life? This stuff is good. Well, I'm not really a vegetable person, but since we are in the food ministry and we get these vegetables, I thought I'd give them a try. I like junk food and chips and chocolate and all that bad stuff. I'm all about it. But the other day I was craving a salad, which is quite odd for me. So I thought, I'm going to go and get it. And I got this stuff for a salad. And I got these little sweet peppers that we get in the food ministry, the little red and yellow and orange ones, okay? I would have never eaten those. Well, since I married Frank, Frank likes a lot of stuff with pepper on there. I always thought that was disgusting till I started putting it on my stuff and I like it. Well, then when I met him, he did this weird thing with cucumbers where he sliced them up, put them in this concoction, and then eventually they turned into pickles. I thought, my God, he sure is old doing this weird stuff with this food. Only old people do that. This season I said, are we going to have some of them cucumber pickle things? We're going to do that, right? And you know, oh, yeah, we're going to do it. You know. So I got this salad. I was in there like a little ninja cutting this stuff up. Now, I know this sounds crazy, but let me tell you, I've had some things come up this week that really wanted to steal my joy. All right? So I placed it in my heart to have an abundant time eating that salad that I was looking forward to. Now, I know this might sound stupid, but we're going to break it down to where we can all relate. So I got that bowl. And I'm trying to decrease them calories because every time Jill puts something on her Facebook page, I feel convicted because she eats a salad every day, and I can't do that, but I can do it like a little bit. So I tried to decrease the ranch dressing. She's really cutting me off at the knees here on this decreasing things because I love ranch dressing. I like a little salad with the ranch, you know. And so I got the ranch in there, and then I doused it with pepper, and I got the pickles, and then I got them peppers that I was for sure that I would hate, and I actually love them. And I sat in my recliner with my bratty dog, Sammy, that's spoiled absolutely rotten, and I ate that salad as slow as I possibly could. Because I wanted to just take it in. And I just ate the salad. And I just began to talk to God. God, I'm going to choose right now in this hard place. I'm choosing the abundant life. Where I'm going to step away from the chaos and the battle. And I'm just going to receive the victory right now that you've already given. God, I want the full life. So God, a part of that full life is just receiving your peace that you're going to give me as I sit here and wait on you and eat this salad and pet this dog. See, God wants to give you joy. He wants to give you that life, that abundant life. But you do have to choose it. How do you choose it? With your actions. If you know that something is going to get you going, how many of you have a few ideas of stuff that gets you going? You need to try to avoid some of them things. See, because God don't want you stirred up all the time. So the Lord is our life. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray that out of his glorious riches, that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. And you know, I believe that a lot of believers need a healing on the inside. That there's things that's gone on in your life that have hurt really, really bad. And they're causing you to not be able to have that abundant life. And so in the Word, it says, I pray that out of his glorious riches that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. See, God wants you happy and whole and full on the inside also. On the inside also. Because see, when someone doesn't have a full life on the outside, they also don't have one on the inside. And God wants you whole in every way, and he wants you full in every way. I was getting this message yesterday, and Coco, who is 8 years old, how many of y'all seen my little Coco? He's the stocky little fellow that likes to sing up here, okay? Now, he's not in here, so I can say this, but he's very healthy. We'll put it at that. And he likes to eat. He weighs more than I do, and he's 8 years old. It's not good. We're working on that. But last night, I said, Coco, we're going to have hamburgers and hot dogs and macaroni and root beer floats. What would you like of that? I didn't mean he could have it all. He goes, I'll take one of everything. No, Coco, you don't need to eat a hamburger and a hot dog and macaroni and whatever else you've been eating behind my back. I said, no, you need to pick hamburger or hot dog. Well, he picks a hamburger. Okay, give this kid a hamburger. Give him the macaroni. Give him the root beer float. Well, Carson, he's the 12-year-old. He looks like he could be in Africa with those kids because he is terribly skinny. I don't know where he gets it from, but he's a tiny little person. And he takes two sips of his root beer float, and he goes, I just don't like the taste of this. I don't want this no more. And I said, well, give it to your brother. See if he wants it, because I hate when food's wasted. And I'm going to have to quit doing that to Coco, because he'll eat anything. And he eats his root beer float, and then he eats Carson's root beer float. And when he got up, Barbara's going, when he got up, I was in regret of allowing him to do that, because he looked full as a tick. And he goes, he could not even move. The poor kid, he was like, I don't feel so good. And I was going, I'm a terrible mother. I've let him overindulge. I said, you need to sit down and get in front of the fan and the vent and just be as still as you can. And he goes, I'm going to need some stomach medicine. So then I go and get him the Pepto. And about that time, he looks at me and he goes, I think I'm going to puke. And I'm going, I am never going to hear the end of this from Frank. He's been telling me to stop feeding this kid so much. And I'm never going to live this down. I said, you're not going to puke. Just sit down in front of the fan. You'll be fine. 2 seconds later, I'm for sure going to puke. I said, well, take your shirt off. Get right there, dead center of the toilet, Coco. Because I do not want to pick up no mess, because then I'll be puking. And this kid started projectile vomiting. did it for about 5 minutes. And I was praying, God help me to make better choices as his mother. Coco gets up, and I had him a wet, cold rag, and I wiped his little face, and I wiped his neck, and wiped him down. He goes, man, I feel better. He said, Mom, did I get too full? I said, you did. He goes, it was all Carson's fault. I said, Coco, it was mine and your fault. I shouldn't have let you eat all that. And you're going to have to make a choice to not eat it all too. But I laughed because I thought, you know, God wants us so full of goodness and love and joy. He wants us full. Now, I don't want you puking and having a bad time, but he wants you full. Amen. And it says, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all of the fullness of God. There isn't an end to how much God loves you. You can't say, well, how deep is the love of God that he has? There isn't a limit. How wide is it? There isn't a limit. That's how much that he loves you. And he wants you full of everything that he has for your life. And it says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we ask. See, why is it important that you ask? Because, see, whatever you ask God for, God has something even greater than what you could ask him for. It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we could ever ask, all that we could imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Last place for me this morning, Psalms chapter 16. We're going to look at verse 11. One of the biggest ways that you can get to know God, one of the best ways that you can get full of God, is in his presence. So in Psalms chapter 16 and verse 11, it says, you have made known to me the path of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence. Sometimes the thing that you want most is held up because you don't spend any time with God. God wants you to spend some time with him, just you and him. Get alone with him. Talk to him. If there's something bothering you, tell him what's bothering you. If there's something that you need from him, ask him. But get to know God. Let him into your life. Because he says, that's where you get to fill up. That's where you get full. In his presence. In his presence. You will fill me with joy in your presence and with eternal pleasures at your right hand. You know, if you don't hear another thing this morning, I want you to walk out of here knowing that God loves you so much and that he's not mad at you and that he wants you to have a full life. Now, I mentioned something in my message this morning that I think it's important to bring out. But if you're in your heart of hearts and there's something on the inside of you that needs a healing, you say, you know, there's something that happened in my life or there's something that's going on and just on the inside, I've got some brokenness on the inside and I need a healing that only God can give me on the inside in my emotions, in my heart of hearts, there's some things going on here. I'm going to ask you to stand because, see, God wants you to be whole and healed on the inward part of you. God doesn't want you sad and miserable. God doesn't want you to have to go on and dread life. He wants you whole, every bit healed, spirit, soul, and body. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for every person that's in your house this morning. God, for the folks that are watching on Facebook right now, Lord, I thank you that as they've responded to your word, Lord, you're meeting them all right where they're at. And God, for that thing that's gone on in their life, Lord, the place in their heart that needs a healing, God, I thank you right now that on the inward man, you're making a healing go on right now in Jesus' name. Lord, for every tear that we've cried about that, Lord, I thank you that you're wiping those tears. God, you're bringing about a newness. And Lord, you're healing that broken place right now in Jesus' name. Amen. We will not have service this evening. We are going to give a